I recently received an email from an aspiring disciple of mine in England who's over 60 years old and has come to Krishna consciousness late in this life. She wrote as follows. I was looking for different bhajans, etc., to do with Rama on YouTube to sing. As my experience with Rama has been small up to now, and I am only just since Ram Navami last week, and my transcription of your lecture of that day, becoming very interested in Rama, and I'm currently reading Ramayana with ease and relish, whereas I couldn't get into it before, having attempted it a few times, and had little to no exposure or understanding from association. Obviously, now is the right time for me to find out for myself. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I found what I considered, perhaps naively, I don't know, a very beautiful summary of the Ramayana of 108 verses, sung by a young lady, gives her name on a YouTube channel, gives the name. She says she has been studying Sanskrit since she was 5 years old and was studying in a Gurukul and is making her living as a musical artist, singing Sanskrit works, teaching Sanskrit, and accepting commissions by different groups, Shaiva, Hindus, Buddhists, Vaishnavas of other sampradayas, etc., recording beautiful Sanskrit verses with such a pure and skilled pronunciation with apparent feeling and love. She seems to me to be quite humble. I am unaware of her affiliations, which she may be keeping to herself for work purposes. But there are pictures of her on her website with her bead bag, which I found comforting. This particular recording was commissioned for, and then it gives the name of such and such a organization, who you may know about. I found this song so beautiful, I thought I would share it on the WhatsApp groups I belong to for the appreciation of your disciples. Somebody came straight back and said I shouldn't be posting things of such a Mayavadi nature and advising people who hadn't watched it to delete it immediately without watching. One or two people came back and said not to take any notice of those who felt that way, that such beautiful prayers to the Lord cannot be wrong and we can join in the singing and learn the words which are so clear as to be made easy, with others thanking them for the warning having deleted the link so as not to be corrupted. I was hoping to get some kind of guidance from you. Long story short. I was hoping to get some kind of guidance from you. If you happen to have the time or interest to do that, please, I would be very honored and appreciative. I obviously try to accept the guidance of my God sisters who know far more than I will ever know, certainly in this lifetime, but does the propagation of the wisdom of the Sanskrit texts cross boundaries for the common good of mankind and of all religious sects and groups? It sounded from your lecture that you are in favor of as many texts as possible being translated, hoping our own Gurukul children coming up will be able to participate in time, maybe some being ready now, but for the work to be collaborative with other groups. Further, how could one possibly know that a summary of Ramayana in beautiful Sanskrit that was so beautiful and reverential be considered a Mayavadi trap, Maya in disguise to entrap and corrupt me? I seem to always be in trouble with somebody for doing something, which is the price I have to pay for trying to get some association, it seems. The only way to not be in trouble with at least one person or group is to stay home and turn everything off and keep myself to myself, which is not the way to be, I am told, the key being association, so I keep trying. Every day there seems to be a minefield of potential blunders on my part and being found wanting by others despite my sincere endeavors. I would be sad to hear that I should not listen to such beautifully performed shastras, but it would be more palatable if I could understand why. And then she sent the link for the YouTube recording. This is the link for YouTube if you feel that you could risk it. Little sarcasm at the end there. I replied, and advised her. I gave some links or references to purports in Srila Prabhupada's books, wherein Srila Prabhupada quotes Avaishnava Mukhod Girnam Putam Harikatamritam Shravana Naiva Kartavya Sarpo Cheshta Yata Payam. One should not hear talks about Krishna, which are by nature just like nectar. One should not hear them. It is one's duty to not hear them if they are given by non-Vaishnavas. The example given in this verse is that of milk, which is very nourishing food, very palatable food, which is sometimes also called amrita, as Harikatha, topics of Krishna, is also called amrita. Amrita means a very nectarian drink. And another meaning of amrita is non-death, or that which bestows immortality. So in both ways, Harikatha is amrita. It's very palatable, except for those who are pashugna. I'll get back to that in a minute. It's very palatable, and it takes us beyond death. And similarly, milk is very palatable, and it doesn't stop death exactly, but it is very conducive for health. Harikatha being very relishable, there is a verse in the beginning of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam in this regard, spoken by Parikshit Maharaj, Nivritta Tarshai Rupagiyamanad Bhavoshat Chotramano Biramatka Uttama Shloka Gunanavanad. What is it? Puman Vina Pashugnat. Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugnat. Am I just testing you? No, I forgot it. The meaning is that for persons who have understood that this material world is no better than a place in which people pass stool, and who are beyond longing to enjoy the delights of a ditch full of stool called the material world, they like to repeat topics of Krishna as received in the disciplic succession, which means not from Mayavadis, the bona fide Vaishnav disciplic succession. And such hearing is like medicine. And it's very pleasing. So again, it's like amrita. It's very pleasing and it's very beneficial for helping us to go beyond birth and death. Who will not want to engage in such glorification of Krishna by the parampara system? Only those who are animal killers. Puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Animal killers, and that's described as those who are in such a low state of consciousness that they kill animals and maybe humans for their own sense gratification. And another meaning is a Mayavadi who's killing himself. He may be detached from material attractions. He's seen the foolishness of this material world, the foolishness and the horror of this material world. But at the same time, he doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this sense, almost literally wants to kill himself by negating his personality by the Mayavad philosophy that all is one and the ultimate truth is insentient, without form, without personality, without pastimes, and so on. So Mayavad is very dangerous. Whoever told you that, I'm paraphrasing here, it's beautifully beautiful prayers, so any way it's sung can't be wrong. And we can join along with it. Well, whoever said that is not reading Srila Prabhupada's books. That I can understand. As for the group that this woman belongs to, I looked at it for a couple of minutes and I was talking about this, propagating the culture, but I wasn't very impressed with all her makeup and bright red lipstick. As far as the organization that the recording was commissioned for, well, I looked that up and immediately saw that it's following some big Mayavadi, a fairly famous Mayavadi in South India who passed away a few years ago. Mayavadi, full-fledged Mayavadi, not a devotee. Some suspicion that she may have grown up in a gurukul. Actually, as Srila Prabhupada states, and as he desired, and as is the culture, women don't go to gurukul, girls don't go to gurukul anyway. She may be from an ISKCON or related background from her beadbag. I really don't know. If you've actually imbibed the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnava Acharyas, then you're not going to accept commissions from Buddhists or Shaivites. And that goes for these kirtan groups. The people who joined ISKCON and learned how to do kirtan very well, and then they go and they get paid by Mayavadis and different kinds of New Age people to do kirtan, to nourish their Mayavadi understanding of what kirtan's all about. They've usurped the kirtan culture that Srila Prabhupada brought to the West. Now, this whole idea that, well, it's in Sanskrit, there's feeling, it must be good. Be careful, be very careful. Newcomers especially are liable to be misled. That's why Srila Prabhupada very kindly gave us so many books, so that we can distinguish reality from illusion for the welfare of all, beginning with ourselves. It's not all the same, as the Mayavadis would like us to believe. They may have feeling. We may have feeling by hearing them. But we have to be very careful. There is the case, well, actually I can think of several cases in Chaitanya Leela. I won't get into them all here. There is the case of Srivas Thakur, who listened to the expert Bhagavatam reciter, Devananda Pandit. He was expert in reciting the Bhagavatam, Devananda, but he was a Mayavadi. Srivas, for his own reasons, listened to that. But when he started crying, feeling ecstasy from considering the purport of the verses that Devananda was reciting, then he was thrown out by the disciples of Devananda, who were all Mayavadis like Devananda. And Devananda sat and watched. He didn't reprove his disciples because he was a Mayavadi. And they don't want sentimentalism. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, he was reproved by the Mayavadi sannyasis for, they didn't exactly bhavukoya. Yeah, they did. They said, you've become a sentimentalist. Vedanta Patan Dhyan, sannyasira dharma. You're as a sannyasi, you're just supposed to do study of the Vedanta and meditation with austerities. So they criticized him for that. Another narration from Chaitanya Lila. There are several. Mukunda Datta was a... Okay, I'll give... there are so many. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like Mayavad. He didn't like it. He was so badly didn't like Mayavad that when Advaita Acharya didn't want to be respected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wanted to be have a more intimate relationship, but he couldn't break that because Advaita was older than him, older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is very apt to the subject. Advaita Acharya started reciting among his following the Yoga Vashishta, which is a work about Rama, sometimes called the Vashishta Ramayana, which is ascribed to Valmiki, which we don't. But it describes how Lord Ram, feeling very detached, morose, and seeing no purpose in life, was instructed by Vashishta, the guru of his family, and instructed him that it's like Buddhism, there's no meaning, there's nothing, there's no basis to anything, but still you should do your duty. And it's got many stories, and it might seem to be very devotional in some ways, but it's thoroughly inside out, impersonalistic. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing that Advaita was doing this, he went to Advaita's house and literally thrashed him, beat him up, which is unthinkable in Indian culture up to the present day, that a young man will beat up an old man. Well, I don't know. Maybe among very low-class people. These are Brahmins. But externally, Advaita and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Brahmin families. But he was so upset with this. Another example, Mukunda Datta, great friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his very childhood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu banished Mukunda from his company because Mukunda had the habit of sometimes when he was with the devotees, he'd act like a devotee. Sometimes he went to the Mayavadis and then he'd behave like a Mayavadi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like this. In this regard, commenting on this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat, I believe it may be Chaitanya Charitamrita, I can't remember. He quoted from the Kulanava Tantra, which is one of the few works of the left-wing tantrics. They don't put much in writing. It's mostly by person-to-person oral tradition and teaching by personal tradition. Left-wing tantrics means those who, for instance, copulate with dead bodies, eat feces, and all kinds of other horrible things in the name of spiritual realization. So from the Kulanava Tantra, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoted Anta Shakta Bahir Shaiva Sabhayam Vaishnavo Mataha. In other words, at heart, you're a Shakta or a Tantric, a worshipper of Durga in her most terrible aspect of Shakti. Outwardly, you show yourself to be a worshipper of Lord Shiva, and when you're with Vaishnavas, you act like a Vaishnava. In other words, you pretend, when you're with Shaktas, you pretend to be a Shakta, which you really are at heart. When you're with Shaivas, you pretend to be a Shaivite. When you're with Vaishnavas, you pretend to be a Vaishnava. This is not acceptable to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vaishnava, only Ekanta Ashray Karo Chaitanya Charane. Now I'm coming, that's quoted from another narration of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, there are so many. I was going to say before that Bhagavan Acharya comes in the same chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavan Acharya with his brother, and then after that comes the poet from Bengal. Third chapter of Antyalila, maybe. Bhagavan Acharya was a very broad-minded, liberal-minded devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, living with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. His brother, or one of his brothers, had been to study in Varanasi and came to visit Bhagavan Acharya in... Oh, no, no, no. Came to visit Bhagavan Acharya in Puri. He had studied very deeply and thoroughly. Gopal had studied very deeply and thoroughly in Varanasi, which is up to the present day the capital city of Mayavad, in North India, at least. We could say Kanchi is in... Kanchi and Rishi Ashinga's place, Sringeri, in South India. These are the two capitals in South India, and Varanasi, and also the Pitams of the, in Puri and Dwaraka, are the Pitams of the Shankaracharyas in North India, especially Varanasi. So Varanasi, he'd come from there, he'd studied very thoroughly. He was an expert scholar. He recited his scholarly works, his scholarly understanding to Bhagavan Acharya, who was very impressed. And Bhagavan Acharya wanted that other Vaishnavas should hear this. And Swarup Damodar, who acted as a buffer between all kinds of nonsensical things that people wanted to subject Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to, he acted as a buffer, that they couldn't go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, they'd have to go through Swarup Damodar. So Swarup Damodar, he understood immediately, even without hearing Gopal. This man's a complete Mayavadi. Why do you want to subject it? Complete Mayavadi, and he was reciting from the Sharirka Bhasha, Shankara's commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, which is his principal work for establishing his Mayavad, Kevaladvaitavad, his Jivishvara-aikyavad, that the Jiva and the Supreme Lord are one. So Swarup Damodar chastised Bhagavan Acharya. He said, you're a very liberal cowherd boy, because he was a cowherd boy in Krishna. You're very liberal by nature, but you shouldn't listen to this Mayavad. And Bhagavan Acharya, we're coming to the point of bhav, right? These Mayavadis have bhav. And we're devotees, so we won't be affected by that. We have feeling for Krishna, but... Bhagavan Acharya said, well, we all have feeling for Krishna. We're not going to be affected. It's beautiful Sanskrit scholarship. But Swarup Damodar said, even a Mahabhagavat, on hearing the explanations, even the topmost devotee, on hearing the explanations of Mayavadis, their mind can change. It's so dangerous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jibe nishta lagi sutra koilo Bhyas, Mayavada bhasha shunle hoi sarvanash. Vyasadev, for uplifting the jivas from ignorance, compiled the Vedanta Sutras. But if one listens to the Mayavadi commentary on that, one's whole spiritual position will be completely spoiled. Another narration. There are so many in Chaitanya Leela. I'll just stop you. There's a lot more to be said. Actually, it's a huge subject. The topic of Mayavad has been discussed and rebutted over the centuries, at least since the time of Sri Ramanujacharya. Then Vedanta Deshika. And then especially on the Madhva side, Madhva Bhakti is strongly predicated on rebuttal of Shankara's Kevaladvaitavad. So one more from Chaitanya Leela. A poet came from Bengal who had composed a drama, poetry, drama, it's all part of the same genre in Sanskrit literature. Well, not exactly, but very closely related. Not totally. So he had prepared a drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he came to Puri, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living. Obviously from Bengal, he had heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He composed a poem, and he composed a drama, and all the devotees were delighted by hearing it. And they thought, well, he came all the way. It's in praise of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wants to recite it before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they had to go through the doorway of Surup Damodar, because Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasa Bhas Shunile Prabhur Chitte Nahoyulash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved to hear about Krishna, but if he heard anything that was against the principles of pure devotional service, or that had mixed and conflicting rasas, this is a very big topic to understand. I won't try to discuss it now. But if there's any such thing, he wouldn't feel happy at all. And Srut Damodar is only concerned with the happiness of Chaitanya. That's his whole existence. As Lalita protects Radha, Sarup Damodar protects Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Sarup Damodar, from the outset, was skeptical, and the devotees couldn't understand the skeptic. He didn't even want to hear it, but at the insistence of the other devotee, he heard it. And then the first verse, the poet read it out. All the devotees saying, oh, this is great. And then Srup Damodar said, well, could you explain the meaning? And the poet gave his meaning. And Srup Damodar pointed out how you have differentiated the Supreme Lord from his body. Srup Damodar said, there is a way to understand this verse with a proper understanding, but the understanding that you impute to it. In other words, it could be devotional, but the understanding, the mentality that's gone into it is impersonalistic. And he blasted that poet. But then, seeing that that poet was humble and submissive, he gave the poet good advice. Jao, jaho. Bhagavata paro, Vaishnava sthane, ekanta ashray karo Chaitanya charane. So go and you hear Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava. Don't hear from Mayavadis. Take full shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the Mayavadis will not do. that is their fault. Okay, one. There's so many from Chaitanya Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like Mayavad. It wasn't something that Srila Prabhupada invented, is his war against Mayavad. All the Vaishnava Acharyas, they rejected. Another narration from Chaitanya Leela. Raghunath Bhatta, journeying from Varanasi. He wasn't a Mayavadi. There were devotees in Varanasi also. There's Chandrasekhar, the Lekok, not the Chandrasekhar in Mayapur. Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, and the son, and the Maharashtrian Brahmana, and the son of Tapan Mishra was Raghunath Bhatta. So Raghunath Bhatta coming, walking from Varanasi to Puri, was accompanied by one Ramdas Vishwas, who was very humble and submissive, served Raghunath Bhatta because Raghunath was a Brahmana, and this Vishwas was Kayasta, Shudra, served Raghunath by very humble, he didn't have to, just voluntarily carried his baggage, served him in all ways. And as they walked along the pathway, Ramdas, he was always chanting the name of Lord Rama. And Raghunath Bhatta was very pleased with him. When they reached Puri, brought him to the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and introduced him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he feigned pleasure on seeing him just to please Raghunath Bhatta. But he didn't give him any special mercy because he could understand that at heart Ram Das was an impersonalist. Even though he was chanting the name of Ram, nonstop, constantly. Now, it's not that we don't give any credence to Mayavadi. Shankara, he saved and revamped the Vedic culture, and in many ways they are upholding it, just like the Sanskrit studies. They are upholding that. That's just one example of how the impersonalists up to the present day are upholding the Vedic culture. And we agree with them on philosophy up to the point of liberation. We agree. This material world is miserable. We have to get out of it. We should get liberated from it. But then what is the nature of that liberation? That's where the divide comes, because the Mayavadis, they don't accept subservience to the lotus feet of the Lord. Ekanta ashray karo Chaitanya Charane. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srup Damodar told the poet to take full shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. They may even seemingly take to the devotional path. Many times I've related this. This must have been, let me see. When was that? Maybe sometime in the 90s. There was an Ardha Kumbh Mela sometime at Prayagraj. 1980s sometime, was it? 1989, whatever. So I was wandering around one evening when all the talks were going on in the pandals, and there was one Shankaracharya, I don't know where he was from, maybe he was from Puri or Dwaraka, I don't know where from. I was just toward the end of his talk because I only stood there for a few minutes and it finished. He had a huge pandal full of people listening to him talking in Hindi, which I understood to some extent at that time. And he was talking about how the Lord will give us shelter, giving the example of Draupadi. And I thought, well, this is good, sounds good. Sounds devotional. But at the end, he finished the whole talk by saying, and we have to understand that we are all one with God. Oh, I spoiled everything. Come on. Well, it's not funny. It's enticing people in and then killing them. But philosophically, we agree. We accept Shankara to the bhaja govindam, murhamate. We accept that, what he says. One of the verses I quote very often is from Shankara and his followers. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jathare shayanam. What do we have in this material existence? We have birth again and again, death again and again, entering the womb of a mother. Iha sangsari bahudustari. This material existence is very difficult to overcome. I don't usually quote the last two lines. And the last of the four lines is, kripaya pare pahi murare, calling out to Murari, Krishna. Please mercifully deliver us. Murari, Krishna, deliver us, maintain us on the path. So, yeah, it's good in that sense. But we have to look at the philosophy of the Mayavadis. What is their philosophy? We may be impressed in many ways. I must admit, I am impressed by certain Mayavadis, by their knowledge, their culture, their adherence to tradition. In many ways, they're very good. They're saintly people. Srila Prabhupada said we can go to Kumbh Mela and associate with the saintly people, just to see the saintly people. They're mostly all Mayavadis, but they are saintly people. They are sadhus. So yes, we can be impressed with them. But at the same time, we're not going to learn devotion from them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wasn't the first to say it, but he said that the prayers of the Mayavadis, the devotion of the Mayavadis, it gives more pain to Krishna than the arrows shot at him by his enemies. How about that? Krishna feels pain when the enemies shoot arrows at him, but the prayers of the Mayavadis, they give more pain. Why is that? Well, I can give an example. Well, Srila Prabhupada gave the example, but not exactly in relation to Mayavad. Vishakanya. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that there are certain girls who are groomed from childhood. And he said this was during the time of Maharashtrian politics. Not that Maharashtrian politics, you look at the Google feed every day and you'll see something from Maharashtra. What can you expect with a mixed government? There's always some politics going on. what was the name? I just can't remember. Something Rao. He was killed by the Vishakanya. What it is, girls from a young age are fed micro doses of a very deadly poison, but it's a micro dose, so it doesn't kill them. And they become inured to it. So that by the time they're a beautiful young girl, which starts, from the time of puberty, I guess, or it can be before that also. And just thinking, Uttara, she married Abhimanyu, she must have been younger than him, and she was pregnant when he was killed at the age of 16. So she was probably, 14 or 15 when she married him and became pregnant. So anyway, they are sent, these girls whose bodies are now full of virulent poison, are sent to seduce political opponents. It's going on to the present day, the honey trap. Beautiful women, prostitutes, trained as spies, they seduce a political enemy or someone with some information that they want to get, and then they compromise. They're the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing in America, similar idea. So, but what the Vishakanyas do, when they kiss the man they've been sent to kiss, then he dies, because the poison is transmitted from the body of the Vishakanya. Vishakanya means poisonous girl. The poison enters the body of the political opponent and they're killed. So in this way, the devotion of the Mayavadis is worse than the arrows of enemies. The arrows of the enemies are shooting in open combat. It's understood, it's clear. But the Mayavadi's devotion is very roundabout, because it's cheating, because ultimately they want to become God themselves. I love you, I kill you. I love you, I love you. Win their trust and then kill them. That's why people, they abhor. What's the worst crime? I've heard, I don't know if it's true, that although capital punishment is, could look it up on the internet, but of course you never know what's on the internet, whether it's true or not, but that in the United Kingdom, capital punishment has been abolished for quite some decades now. But it's still allowable. If you're a mass murderer or a mass child rapist, still you cannot be subject to capital punishment by law. But for treason, it's still allowable, theoretically. Because what's the worst thing? When someone, their own country, or they pose as a friend of the country, but for their own personal interests, they betray their own country. So it's something like that, that someone, he wins your trust, but his aim is to do you harm. He comes as a lover, but ultimately wants to do you harm. So we have to see their philosophy. What is that? They may sound very devotional and seem very devotional and talk the language of devotion, but they have another purpose. You see their philosophy. Anyone who's a Vaishnava, if he hears the Mayavad philosophy, as Surup Damodar said, his heart will break. It's so bad. It's so anti-devotional. It's not just non-devotional. Non-devotional, smoke, drink, go to prostitutes, that's non-devotional. But anti-devotional, even if you're very austere, you're very learned, you're very cultured, but if you're anti-devotional, you're in a worse position. Because you may not be engaging in grossly sinful activities, but you have you're thinking of Krishna, but you want to usurp his position. And not even like Kamsa, who is openly inimical, but in a roundabout way, pretending to be friendly. That's something like Vatsasura, isn't it? He pretended to be one of the cowherd boys, ended among the cowherd boys, but he was detected and killed. Oh, he took the form. Yeah. Oh, that was a calf. Ah, so see there, just one more example I'll give in Dhritarashtra. He knew that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, but due to weakness of heart, he knew what was right and what was wrong, but due to weakness of heart, he offended the dear devotees of Krishna, the Pandavas, grievously. Even though given good advice again and again and again and again and again and again and again, he would not heed that good advice. He blamed it all on destiny, but it was his own fault. Toward the end of life, Vidur, at Vidur's behest, Dhritarashtra went for spiritual realization to the forest, but he could not attain Krishna bhakti. He got some impersonal kind of success. He could not attain Krishna bhakti because of his offenses to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees. So we should be very, very, very careful of Mayavadi. If there's a risk, don't do it. What's the benefit? Or even if you think there's some benefit, the risk is far greater than the gain. Even if we stick to those few songs in the original songbook composed by Achyutananda Swami, the few songs in that, that's enough, actually. I myself, I'm fond of singing many songs from various sources. And nothing wrong in that. But even if we only chant the Hare Krishna mantra and we don't know so many other songs, Ram is there also. So we should be very, very careful. And that goes for everything. We may say, well, why not take chocolate? Well, if there's any question, then why do so? Mother Yashoda doesn't offer chocolate to Krishna. Mother Shachi doesn't offer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada did not instruct us to offer chocolate to the deities. So if there's any doubt in the matter, then why do it? Better be conservative. You don't gain anything. Why do devotees take chocolate? There's another subject completely. Why do they do it? It's not for Krishna's pleasure. It's because they like to eat chocolate themselves and they can offer it to Krishna if they want. Whether Krishna accepts it or not is another question. But that's the point. We should be conservative. Why take unnecessary risks? That's my point. And Mayavad is so dangerous. Now, if one is very advanced, he can take the risk. Jiva Goswami studied in Varanasi to understand the bad philosophy of Mayavad so that he could refute it, which he later did. Madhusudan Saraswati went as a devotee to Varanasi, and he never gave up his devotional sentiments, but he became a Mayavadi. He was a kind of mixed Mayavadi devotee. But ultimately, his philosophy, his sentiment is Krishnadapi paratatvameham na jane. I don't know any higher truth than Krishna, but his philosophy is absolutely impersonal and is quoted up to Krishna. He's quoted up to the present day. He's a great scion of the Mayavad Sampradaya. So it's very dangerous. This whole idea that, well, we're devotees and we have feelings, so we can do what we like, and we don't have to follow all the traditions because we're devotees and we have feelings for Krishna. Therefore, we don't have to follow all these rules which all devotees in all sampradayas, including the Gaudiya Sampradaya, have followed since time immemorial. They're smarter rules. I'm just thinking of someone who's... it's a horrible matter. The rules of which women follow during their monthly period. But as we say, the same culture, Mayavadis, Smartas, Vaishnavas, including Gauriyas, including Gauriya Mat, they've all followed these things since time immemorial. Now in the West, Srila Prabhupada made some concessions for the Western women, although it is clear that he wasn't really so very happy about that. But at least in India, we should follow the same culture and not on the... as Srila Prabhupada said to Subhag Maharaj, he told him that philosophy you can learn from the Western devotees, but culture, you follow the culture that you learn from your parents and everyone around you. So we shouldn't think, well, I'm a devotee and I've got feeling and then I can do whatever I feel is good and we don't have to follow all these rules. Don't become more intelligent than all the acharyas and housewives and everyone in the tradition before us. Guru, sadhu, shastra. Sadhu means saintly persons, tradition. We should be cautious. If there is doubt in this matter, one thing you can ask your guru, if you care to follow what your guru says in this regard, and follow the culture. What is the loss? So many great devotees in the past have followed this because it is conducive to our spiritual advancement. To think, we have feeling, therefore we won't be contaminated. Well, that's what Bhagavan Acharya said. Of course, that was in the case of hearing Mayavad. But there are rules to be followed. Ya shastra vidhi mutsrija, vartate kama karata, nasasidim avapnoti, nasukam naparam gatim. The rules of Shastra are given by Bhagavan to help uplift us. If we don't follow them due to our whims or thinking that we're very advanced because we read a few books, then we won't get happiness or peace or the supreme destination. This is a common disease of thinking that we're very advanced when we're not. Because we have feeling. The Mayavadis also have feeling. But their feeling isn't pleasing to Krishna. I'll finish there. There's so much to be said. You read Srila Prabhupada's books. And read it and don't become puffed up and thinking, I know everything. Then we won't get any benefit from reading those books. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarupyas chakripa sindubya evacha. Patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.